Starting this Sunday, starting this Sunday is the fast of the 17th of Tammuz. And the truth is, this year, I think the 17th is actually on Shabbos, but we don't fast on Shabbos. It's pushed off till Sunday. Because Tisha B'Av this year is also on Shabbos, and they'll push off till Sunday as well. The only time we ever fast on Shabbos is Yom Kippur. Besides that, we always push off the fast one way or the other. And typically you push off a fast later to Sunday, because we don't want to speed in things which are negative. We don't want to make them quicker. The only fast you move back is Hannah's Esther, the fast of Esther, but that's not really a sad fast, it's a type of fast.
So if you move back to Thursday. Then we would have moved it back to Thursday.
Right, for Hannah's Esther, right. But all other fasts, we delay till Sunday. Because you want to delay negative things, you don't want to bring it closer to you. So we delay till Sunday. So this Sunday we'll have the fast of 17 of Tammuz. And that begins the three period of mourning until Tisha B'Av, which will be 3 weeks later. This year will actually be on the 10th of Av this year, because it will be delayed by one day. So that's the three period of mourning. It's the period at which we mourn, in particular, over the destruction of Jerusalem and the Beis HaMikdash, and in general, over all the calamities and tragedies of Jewish history throughout all the ages. This is the time designated by the rabbis to mourn over all persecution, tragedy, anti-Semitism, the exiles, everything, Holocaust, everything is designated to be mourned for during these 3 weeks.
First Tisha B'Av.
Right, the first?
The original Tisha B'Av.
Yeah, we'll get to that soon also, right.
We just passed a couple of parshas.
Yeah, right, Parsha Shlach. And for us, we live life nowadays, and thank God, things in America are very peaceful, our lives are very comfortable.
Right now.
And throughout the world, relatively, this is a very peaceful and comfortable time for Jewish people. There are threats, there are difficulties, but if you compare 2012 to 1912, 1812, 1712, 1612, 1512, we're doing pretty good. Thank God we're doing pretty good. And for us, we live life as normal, and we see life. We're living a very easy, comfortable Jewish life, and both physically and spiritually, we're doing pretty well. And thank God, we acknowledge that, to be gratitude towards God for giving us a comfortable life. But there's something which the rabbis wanted to make sure we never forget, which is that this is not how Jewish life is supposed to be. We're supposed to all be in the land of Israel. There's supposed to be a Beis HaMikdash. It's supposed to be a center of Jerusalem, which is the center of Jewish life. It's supposed to be a holy temple with the Kohanim, with the daily temple service as our focal point. And if not for the three-week period of mourning, we probably would all forget that. Because, unless we sit back and focus yearly on that concept, it would be lost from us. We don't really feel it. It's very distant from us. And it's been 2,000 years now since the destruction, just about, of the Second Temple. The Jewish people have gone from country to country in exile, wandered around, been persecuted, been killed. We've had good times, we've had bad times, but we're so distant from that life, the life of having the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, the way of Jewish life ideally is supposed to be, and we're so far. There's a famous work, the Kuzari, which is written as a discussion between a rabbi with the king of a nation called the Khuzars. And this king was searching for truth, a very philosophical and intelligent king. He was exploring religion. And this rabbi, the book's written as a dialogue between the king and the rabbi. And the king asks him all sorts of questions about Judaism and philosophy. It's a tremendous work. I mean, it's not easy. It's a very hard, it's a philosophical read. I haven't gotten through a lot of it either. But there's a famous conversation that they have. He asks the rabbi about the Holy Temple, the temple service. And the rabbi describes how essential was the Jewish life and how it's really our heart and our blood. And everything about Judaism is based in the base of Mikdash. So the king says, the way you're describing it, you're now a body without a heart and without a head. The Jewish people at this point, after the destruction, after the exile, we're totally, it's like a body walking around without a heart. That's what the king said. And the rabbi said to him, it's worse than that. We're basically scattered limbs. It's just lifeless, scattered limbs with nothing to them. That's his response. And for us, we don't feel that all the time. In a certain sense, we're happy we don't feel that, because our lives are somewhat comfortable. We're not always thinking about it. I wish it was different. On the other hand, we're supposed to be thinking that way. We're supposed to be thinking I wish it was different, because we don't realize that we're basically a bunch of scattered limbs. People, we're not living our ideal life. We're supposed to be a human being with a heart and a head, and we're just a bunch of scattered limbs that are around. Last year, I told a story. I remember I told in this class a story as an analogy for this concept. I'll tell it again. Some of you were here last year, some of you forgot it, but I think it's a powerful analogy. There was a story, I believe it's a true story. There was once an artist. And this artist, he was known for painting, you know, beautiful colors and pastels. You know, he had his works up in museums. He sold his work. He was a very, very famous artist, you know, very talented. At one point, he got into an accident. He became colorblind. And for him, it was the end of his life. He was totally depressed. You know, he was suicidal. What was he supposed to do? His whole life was built around art. He was famous. He was, his income came from art. That's all. And his whole dignity and his whole self-worth was from being an artist. And now he couldn't paint in the colors anymore. He couldn't see color anymore. And for a while, you know, he was very, very depressed. It was a very difficult time for him. At a certain point, he decided to start painting again. He started using grays and blacks and whites. And as time went on, he became very, very skilled in using the grayscale. And people started, you know, buying his artwork again. And people out there didn't even realize he had an accident. Some people thought that he just changed his style. Now he likes planting in grays. That's what they thought.
His gray period.
Yeah, you know, right? Came to some sort of, like, you know, rebirth, you know, just as a gray artist. He started doing well. The year went by, 2 years went by. He's back to normal life, basically. He was happy again. You know, he got back his self-worth. He's able to have an income once again. At a certain point, his doctors came to him, and they said, "We think we have a cure for your problem, and then we can do a surgery. But then we get your color vision back." And he thought about it, and he says, "No, I'm not so interested anymore. I don't need it. I'm happy how life is right now." That's how the story goes. I believe it's a true story. And but for me, the lesson from that story is this. You know, our life as Jews, we used to have a life which is very colorful. You know, the life of the Jews in Israel, with the Jewish king, Jewish monarchy, with the Beis HaMikdash, with the Kohanim, in its ideal sense, that was a life where everything was color, it was flat, it was purple, the pastel, it was beautiful colors. So when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you read the accounts of the Jews at the time, they were devastated. You know, you have it in Psalms, Anos Babylon, you know, where we were standing there on the rivers of Babylon, and we were crying, and, you know, etc. You read the accounts after in the Gemara, the destruction of the Second Temple. I mean, the Jews didn't understand. How do you live as a Jew without a temple? They couldn't fathom an existence. You know, we're missing, like the Kuzari said, we're just scattered limbs. We're nothing anymore. As time goes on, you get used to it. We start building our shuls. We get back to normal life. You know, and we move past it. And then now we come to our times. We think about this idea of the temple. And we say, you know what? I really need it. We're happy as we are. You know, we're happy to be in a life of gray. We don't remember the colors anymore. We remember the beauty of those colors. It's lost from us.
That's what I was thinking when you gave that story. I felt that he was wrong. So, did I hear you right? Like that we shouldn't be satisfied.
Right, yeah.
Go back.
Right.
That's how I felt, is that if Hashem gave you color vision and science can bring it back, then you should get...
Right, to be able to see the world in color once again.
What God gave you,
right.
What God intended.
Right. And it could be that artist, it could be he forgot the beauty of color.
Beauty,
you know,
of color,
so long.
Right.
So that's the analogy. The story, whether it's true or not, it's a good analogy. But I'm pretty sure it's a true story. But that's how we are right now. So we've gotten into our gray period, and we're happy with it. And the fact that Jewish life was so different and so much more rich and colorful, you know, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the times the Jews were all gathered in the land of Israel, something which is just totally beyond us, and we don't even think about getting back to it. So that's the analogy. So what I want to do over the next couple weeks is, and so much more time today, is try to understand a little bit about life. You know, what does this Mikdash stand for? Why is it so important? Why is that the focal point of Jewish life in the ideal sense? We're not going to get to it today. Maybe it's for next week, and then I'll be away the following, 2 weeks after that. Like I said before, I'll be away on the 17th. But we'll have next week, and then we'll have, I guess, the 24th. We'll discuss more about the Beis HaMikdash.
Next week isn't the 17th?
Next week is the
10th. Next week is the
10th. Yeah. Yeah. Next week.
We'll tape it.
Yeah, put it online. Yeah, so I'll be here on the 10th and the 24th. I won't be here on the 17th. But just for today, quickly, I just wanted to give you just the historic facts. The fast of the 17th of Tammuz, which again we'll be observing this Sunday. So the Mishnah tells us there's five tragedies which occurred on that day, which we're marking. And it all started in the desert. The Jews were in the desert, And this is the day of the when Moshe came down and broke the tablets. The Jews were worshiping the golden calf. That was the 17th of Tammuz. That's where it all started. The Mishnah continues and tells us four more reasons as to why it's a tragic day. The second reason is the day that the Karban Tamid, there was a continual offering brought daily in the temple, twice a day. It ceased to be given on the 17th of Tammuz before the destruction. The walls of Jerusalem were breached during the second temple period, right before the destruction of the 17th of Tammuz. So the first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. They breached the walls, according to most sources, on the 9th of Tammuz. The second temple was destroyed by the Romans. They breached the walls of Jerusalem on the 17th of Tammuz. So since the second temple is in more recent times, we observe that day as a day of tragedy. That was on the 17th of Tammuz. The fourth tragedy that recorded in the Mishnah is that there was a Greek general named Apostemus who took the Torah scroll that was housed in the Beis Hamikdash and burnt it on the 17th of Tammuz. This was during the Greek period in Israel. And the fifth tragedy which occurred was that there was an idol erected in the temple itself. It's unclear in the sources whether this was erected by Apostemus as well, this Greek general, or may have been even worse, may have been erected by the Jewish king Manasseh during the first temple period. It's a dispute exactly who erected this idol. Manasseh was an extremely wicked king.
But he was Jewish, you
said? He's one of the Jewish kings. And he took the Jews, he led the Jews into idolatry, and he erected an idol in the temple. So it may have been his idol we're discussing on the 17th of Tammuz, it may have been Apostemus, this Greek general's idol. But either way, that was another tragedy which occurred on the 17th of Tammuz.
All in the same year or different?
They're all different years.
But they all seem to happen on the same
date. They're all the same date.
Is something good supposed to happen on that day in the future? Or is that supposed to turn around like Purim?
17th of Tammuz, no. All these dates are supposed to turn around. I'm not sure how these turn around, but they're all supposed to turn around. There are sources where each fast will turn around to be a positive day.
Is that when the Messiah comes?
Right, yeah. But it's all these days of celebration rather than days of tragedy. On the 9th of Av, so basically this period has two brackets. You have the 17th of Tammuz as the opening bracket, and 9th of Av is the closed bracket, and then the 3 weeks of mourning in between. And this week's of mourning, again, there's a lot of halachic restrictions, which I won't go into today, but there's a lot of restrictions in what we should do on a daily basis so we can remember the temple. But on the 9th of Av, the five events recorded in the Mishnah, which occurred on the 9th of Av, it began again also in the desert, the sin of the spies. That was the day where the spies came back and reported their negative report about the land of Israel, and God decreed the Jews had to wander in the desert 40 years. Initially, they were supposed to enter into the land of Israel real briefly after receiving the Torah. But because of the sin of the spies, God decreed you have to wander for 40 years, and that entire generation died out prior to entering into the land. That was on the 9th of Av. That was the very first Tisha B'Av. Both temples were destroyed on the 9th of Av, the first and second temple. So those are two additional tragedies. And the fourth tragedy was that there was the destruction of the city of Beitar. Beitar, after the destruction of the second temple, there was the rebellion staged by the Jews against the Romans, led by Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba was strongly supported by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva thought he might be the Messiah. And they had a major rebellion which they staged against the Romans, which was successful for a few years. And their major stronghold was the city of Beitar. It was a very large city, housed a lot of Jews. And on that day, on the 9th of Av, I forgot, it was in the year, maybe 150, 160 or so, the Romans were able to capture the city of Beitar. They killed out tens of thousands of Jews in the city, and they ended this rebellion. And this is the rebellion that we were hoping would be at the times of the Messiah already. Rabbi Akiva, who was one of our greatest sages of all time, was backing Bar Kokhba in this.
Can we talk about that at some point? Like, how could he have been wrong? Like
Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah, because I've heard, that Bar Kokhba, even Rabbi Akiva later, saw some things that weren't quite what he would have expected.
Right, yeah, eventually he kind of retracted his view. Right. We can get to that some point. That's a good discussion to have at some point. And then the fifth event, which is recorded in the Mishnah, which happened on this day, is that the Romans came into Jerusalem, plowed over the entire city. Which is basically means that was the final blow to Jerusalem. Everything was plowed like a field. The disrespect, the degradation of Jerusalem and of the Temple Mount, that happened on the 9th of Av. So it's a very inauspicious time for the Jews. It's interesting also, there's a lot of modern events which also occurred on the 9th of Av. I know if you look at ish.com, they have an article about more modern events which occurred. Everything I told you was from the Mishnah. But such as the expulsion of Jews from Spain was on the 9th of Av in 1492. And the World War One began, I'm not sure exactly the day around that day. I think that the shot when they killed the Duke, my history is a little bit, you know. They killed an Austrian Duke, or who is it? Right? The Archduke. Yeah. That began World War One, which basically escalated to World War Two and the Holocaust, you know, a few decades later. That was on Tisha B'Av, or around Tisha B'Av time. There's a few others listed on H.com. They tell you historically other events which occurred on the 9th of Av, which is why it's such a tragic day. It's the time of year where we're supposed to understand it's not an auspicious time for Jews. It's recommended if you have a court case to deal with a non-Jew, you should try to delay it till after Tisha B'Av. You shouldn't do it during the month of Av until after Tisha B'Av.
What is that, the English calendar again?
So this year it will be around July 19th, 20th, the month of Av. Tisha B'Av is going to be, it's really the entire month of Av starting at that point until Tisha B'Av. So it will be about the 20th of July till the 30th of July, something like that. It's looked at as a difficult time for Jews throughout all of history. So, but this period of the year, these 3 weeks, are times we're supposed to reflect upon the idea that Jewish life is not as it should be, spiritually for sure, even physically in many ways. We're supposed to reflect upon the tragedy of our exile, the tragedy of our destruction. And with this, we're supposed to come to repentance and pray that God will restore us, you know, to our former glory, restore us to the land of Israel in its fullest sense, with the temple, with the unity that you're supposed to have. So those are the events which occurred on these days. So, God willing, next week we'll discuss more about the temple itself, and we'll discuss why it's so important to us in Jewish life. Any questions? Mm.